Good morning. If I haven't met you before, my name's Joshua. I'm on the staff team here, and we're going to look at that part of God's Word together. But let's pray first. Dear Lord, we want to ask this morning that you be with us. We're really grateful that you speak to us, but we don't want it to fall on deaf ears and hard hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit might take your word and just really massage it deep into our hearts this morning. We want to live lives that reflect you well. So please use your word this morning to keep shaping us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I should say a warm welcome to Roma as well. If you're joining us, we're in chapter 8 of Romans today. In our household at home at the moment, we're getting ready for a new baby to turn up. And one of the things that means is that we do a bit of a tidy up. And by a bit, I mean like a big tidy up, kind of empty all the cupboards out, throw things away that really don't have any use anymore, wash a whole lot of clothes that haven't been washed in a while, like organise things so that they're easy to get to and you don't have to trip over, you know, 3 million things. We're doing a proper tidy up. And I'm not sure what we're going to do when we stop having kids, because this is the only time we do a proper tidy up. We're usually the kind of family that if we have guests coming over, we think, what are the two rooms that they're going to see, and we just try and tidy them a little bit. Everything else gets shoved behind a couch or a door or hidden away somewhere, and it's really a cosmetic tidy up. That's all it is. Nothing deep, just a very superficial kind of clean. And sometimes I feel like we can think the Christian life is a bit like that. I mean, if you've been here over the past 5 weeks, every week, right, we've been talking about being Christians and sin. Being Christians and sin. Sin and being Christians. Like, every week for the last 5 weeks, I've sat here and that's what we've talked about. And I guess I've been sitting there asking myself, did anything really change when I became a Christian? I wonder if you've been thinking that as well. Like, so much of the last few weeks, sin and being a Christian. Has anything really changed when you became a Christian? Well, we're going to head into chapter 8 together this morning, and Paul's going to help us see three things, I think. He's going to help us see a new position, a new postcode, and new confidence. Romans 8 opens up, however, with a new position. I don't know if you've ever been in a position of debt before. I imagine all of you have to differing extents. Recently, I've been in a position of debt. I've owed $14 to a seven-year-old. And he was kind of doing run for Bibles. And he said, hey, will you sponsor me? And I said, sure, I'll give you $14. I'll bring it next week. That was 3 months ago. And it's been horrible since then. Because every time I bump into him or his family, I know that there's something not right between us, because I owe them this money. And even though it's only a little amount, like when you're in a position of debt, however big, something's not right in your relationship. And it's not going to be until that debt has been cleared. Right? Paul's been making that same argument, I think, that all people are naturally in a position of debt. It's been one of his main points through the first seven chapters of Romans. As he writes to the church in Rome, he's really stressed that all people are in a position of debt before God. And it's much more serious than a $14 kind of run for Bibles sponsorship. Right, Paul says it like this in Romans 3:23. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right, he's saying all people are in a position of debt. And it's not a debt we can pay. In 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. Right? Paul's been really clear all the way up to this point in Romans that people's natural position is a position of debt that they can't pay before God. But since trusting Jesus, right, and Paul always uses this term in Christ, like that's his way of talking about Christians. But Paul's going to say to them, since trusting Jesus, you actually have a new position. You know, there has been real change. This is how chapter 8 opens. He says to them, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? What has changed for them? He says, now there is no condemnation. There used to be condemnation. They used to owe God, but not now. Right? It's a really big change. He's saying, hey, there's no debt. Right? It's been paid. It's been covered. And it's not because they've finally remembered to pay it. It's because Jesus has covered it. Jesus has paid their debt. If you jump down to chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, and I think this is the bit now to really focus on, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Right? Jesus was condemned instead. It's not that sin was swept under the rug or kind of tucked behind the couch. It's way too serious for that. It had to be dealt with. And God dealt with it by sending Jesus. Jesus paid our debt by going to the cross. He paid, he died in their place, right? And what's left is no condemnation. They have a new position before God. They don't owe him anything. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And when we hear those words, like if we've experienced ever, even kind of being in anyone's kind of debt, even for a small bit, to think about that being paid and experiencing no condemnation, we get a sense of how great that would feel. And I imagine for some of you here this morning, you might actually still be just trying to figure out how you kind of pay off some of your debts to God and remove that awkward tension in your relationship with him. What Paul's pointing out to here is actually you can't pay that. You can't pay that. It's not a debt you can pay off, but Jesus can. Right? Trust in him and his work at the cross. That will change your position before God. Everything will be cleared. Right? Paul is clear, it's only through Jesus that your position can change before God. For lots of us here this morning, we are already in Christ. We've trusted Jesus. And Paul wants this to encourage you that like this is real change for you. That real change is ours to own. We have a new position before God. Jesus has paid our debt, right? There's no condemnation for us. Right? No one can dig up anything from your past. There's no skeletons hiding in your closet. There's no Facebook post from 5 years ago. There's nothing that can kind of be brought out into the open that will put you back under condemnation. And that's because of Jesus. Right, and there's nothing on the horizon either. There's no slip up, no kind of brain snap, no kind of acting out of character that can bring you back into debt. Right? Jesus has paid it all. What really changed when you became a Christian? Because of Jesus, a mammoth amount, a whole lot. For one thing, you have a new position before God. And the second thing Paul wants to make to these Christians in Rome is that they also have a new postcode. I moved postcodes 11 years ago now. I moved from New South Wales to Queensland, from 2130 to 4405, right? A city postcode to a country postcode. And life's been fairly different in that time. There's lots of things that are different up here. You talk very differently up here, for one thing. I'm still getting used to the different words that you use. If you go to a kid's party these days, they'll say, hey, we're going to have Cheerios. And I think, oh, it's going to be a lame party. Who has cereal at a party? And then one of the kids will be asking for sauce. And I just think, oh, sauce and milk, that's disgusting. But it takes me a while to click back in, oh, you mean those little red sausage things with no nutritional value. That is actually what you're talking about. I As I was thinking about this, one of the things, I used to be a speech therapist, and I did some work in the city before I came here. And one of the things that I got in the habit of doing is when you meet a new kid, to help them settle in and feel comfortable, you kind of say, hey, bring one of your toys with you. Or you say that to the mum. Bring one of his toys with him, and that way we can kind of play together and I'll figure out how their language and speech and things are going. This one kid once turned up with a chicken, a live chicken. I did a speech and language assessment with like a chook sitting on my lap. Never before in the city would that had not happened in the city. They didn't prep you for that in uni. Like, life is different up here, right? You do things very differently in the country to the city. Like, what changed, right, when they trusted Jesus? Paul wants to say, hey, they've moved to a new postcode. You've changed how you live. He says it like this in verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit. Right? They've changed realms, kingdoms, if you prefer that world. They're in the realm of the flesh. Now, they were in the realm of the flesh. Now, they're in the realm of the spirit. They've changed postcodes. And how life works is now completely different. In the verses leading up to 9, Paul points out all of the differences, right? This is what life is like in the postcode of the flesh. In verse 5, you have fleshy desires, just doing whatever you want. In verse 6, you have death. In verse 7, you have hostility to God. In verse 7, you have not worrying about God's laws. In verse 7, it's pointed out you actually can't worry about God's laws. In verse 8, you can't please God. In verse 9, you don't belong to Jesus. He's reminding them that was what life was like in the old postcode. But they don't live there anymore. And then he talks about life in the new postcode, the postcode of the Spirit. Verse 5, living what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, life and peace. Verse 9, belonging to Jesus. As people in Christ, this is life in their hometown postcode. And it hasn't come about because they realised they needed a sea change, and it's not because they thought, oh, we've just got to escape to the country, right? It's all because of Jesus and his Spirit moving them. All the difference comes from Jesus' Spirit. The point Paul is making here is that the Spirit is the one who moves them and settles them into their new postcode. He is the one who changes their desires. He's the one who moves them from death to life and peace. The Spirit is the one who moves them from being hostile to God to being friends with God. He's the one who moves them to please God. Right, what really changes when you become a Christian? I mean, a whole lot. And almost saying a new postcode, you've moved to a new postcode, it's not enough. Your whole world changes, right? Because of God's Spirit, radical changes are occurring in you. And I think it is worth saying here that actually when you read this bit of Romans kind of for the first time, there are a lot of ifs in it. And like verse 9, if indeed the Spirit lives in you, right? All the ifs, you read them and all they do inside of you is they cause doubt, it feels like. Because I reckon we naturally read them as the kind of parenting if. The parenting if goes like this. If you be good, maybe you'll get dessert, right? And we all know that means no one's getting dessert. That's the parenting if. And when we read this, I think that's how we naturally read it. But it's not that kind of an if that Paul's using here. He's using a different kind of if. It's the supremely confident if. Look, the best way I think I can describe the supremely confident if, imagine you're a Queenslander, which won't be very hard for you. And this is a supremely confident Queenslander. If I know anything about football, and I do, Queensland are going to win the series now, right? That is the kind of if that Paul is using here. It's a supremely confident if. He wants to fill them with confidence. He wants them to know what Jesus has done for them. This is how I think Paul would want us to read these verses. So we'll start in verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and he does. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, and he is, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and he is, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Paul wants to fill them with confidence at the work of the Spirit in their lives. And I think as we look in the mirror, we can be confident too, because I think that is our story as people in Jesus. I mean, I look in the mirror and I can see there's definitely been changes in me since coming to know Jesus and being in his postcode. And as I look out, like I've been in this postcode long enough to know lots of you over the last few years, and I think actually there's lots of change in you as well. We can be confident that that's happening, right? We're not just saved and left where we're found, right? We are saved and moved to a new postcode. He's moved us. He's changing us. We're not left on our own. Jesus' Spirit is alive and working in us, right? Paul's really confident that there's no way you can have a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Right, and we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to talk that good news to ourselves frequently. Right, we can take passages like this and put ourselves in it, can't we? We could say, hey, Troy, you're in the realm of the Spirit, right? If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and he does. We could say, hey, Ray, if Christ is in you, and he is, then though your body is subject to death, because of the Spirit, life and righteousness is yours. Right? We can look in the mirror and remind ourselves of these great truths. Right? What's really changed when you became a Christian? A whole lot. Right? You have a new position and you live in a new postcode. The strange thing is, it doesn't always feel like that. Sometimes what happens is you move to a new postcode and you just kind of momentarily forget where you are and you drop into an old habit from the last postcode. I mean, I still wear blue this time of year. It's an old habit. I generally end up feeling the colour that I'm wearing as well. But you drop into those old habits, don't you? I mean, there are still times when I'll head down the street on a Saturday afternoon and I just think, where are all the people? Why aren't all these shops open for my kind of convenience? That's what it was like in the city. And there are still moments when my wife says to me, hey, I gave the boys Cheerios for lunch, and I think, they're not at university yet. Why are they eating cereal in the middle of the day? Right? Paul acknowledges that there are moments in the Christian life where we do kind of just drop back into old habits like we had in the postcode. In 8 verse 10, he says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. But I find that a really weird sentence to read, right? Like, how can death and life exist in the same kind of person? And really, I think what's happening here is Paul's just saying, even though Christians are in a new position and a new postcode, sometimes they just drop back into living in that old postcode kind of way. But because of Jesus, there actually has been real deep down change. They actually do have a brand new position. They do live in a new postcode with the Spirit. And this means that they can have new confidence as well. And that's our final point this morning, new confidence. I realised as I was thinking about this point, I'm the kind of person who, when I buy things, I actually want to see that it's worked somewhere else. So I had a friend and he bought a TV from Kogan. Kogan's like a really kind of, it's a cheap website. But he bought a TV from Kogan and it worked, right? And I thought to myself, well, it's worked for him. I'll also buy a TV from Kogan and it's worked for me. Like, it gave me confidence. I had a mate who bought a coffee machine and it worked for him, and I thought, well, if it's worked for him, that kind of gives me confidence. It could work for me, and so I bought the same coffee machine. I also had a friend who had a socket set, and the socket set really worked for him, and that gave my wife confidence to buy me the socket set. We're still figuring out why she had confidence in me knowing how to use it. But because it was great for my friend, she thought, it's going to really work for Josh, right? We're that kind of people, aren't we? Like, we have confidence when we see something working elsewhere. And Paul reminds the Christians in Rome that they can be confident because the same Spirit who raised Jesus back to life, he's the Spirit who's at work in them. They've seen his power raise Jesus from the dead, and Paul's saying, that same Spirit, he's the one working in you. What confidence that would give them, right? Verse 11, and if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you, right? The same Spirit who raised Jesus, the same Spirit who's at work in these Christians in Rome, the same Spirit who's been at work throughout the history of the church, he's the Spirit given to you and I when we're in Christ. What confidence that should fill us with. That even if there are moments when we forget what postcode we're in, it's just a matter of we've forgotten. Right? God's Spirit is in us. We can be confident that he's going to keep bringing real change. And I think that's what Paul really wants to say to us this morning, is that the change is real. What really changed when you became a Christian, because of Jesus, you have a new position before God. You owe him absolutely nothing. Because of the Spirit, right, you're in a new postcode, living a new life, living for God and putting sin to death. And we can be confident in all of this because we don't just have any old Spirit with us. We have the Spirit who raised Jesus to life. He's the one living in us. And we can be confident because of Jesus through the Spirit that you'll be in your new position and in your new postcode now and forever. Let's pray. Our Lord, we really do need you to remind us of this truth frequently. We're constantly tempted to forget all you've done for us. And we want to thank you for Jesus, for the new position that we have before you because of what he's done. We're really grateful that we owe you nothing. We're really thankful for the gift of his Spirit that's helping us live in brand new ways, living for you and putting sin to death. And we thank you that we can be confident in this because it's the same Spirit that you used to raise your Son to life. Lord, help us be men and women who continue to grow and live out this life in this new postcode. And we want to do that not for our sake, but for the sake of your name. Amen.